divine presence in our lives. We thank you for the gifts of creation with which you have blessed your people in every age. We pray that your grace will move in and through us as we listen to the calling of the Holy Spirit to study and inwardly digest the words of Holy Scripture that we hear this day. Amen. Please be seated. Just a little aside before I start into my sermon. Sandra, our senior priest, announced to me back a couple months ago that she was going to take 4 weeks off. And I said, oh, that's nice. Well, you'll take the services. And I said, that's nice. Glad to do it. And then I saw the four Gospels. And I thought, boy, you sure picked the right 4 weeks to go away. Because it was the last 4 weeks. So this is the last of the 4 weeks that we need to talk about. And I want to share with you several observations which have been made about how we, as human beings, are living in this particular time and space. Now, it should come as no surprise to you that these same observations have been made with every generation in every society since the very earliest days of human history, when we first walked on this earth with the Creator. Observation number one. People in power are not willing to give up their position of authority very easily. Number two, if you want to upset the social norm, try telling the truth. If anyone doesn't agree with your position about something or someone, just tell them that they're wrong. And the last one, number four, society demands conformity at all cost. Harmony makes us complacent. Harmony makes us complacent. Well, we only need to examine the state of the turmoil which is besieging a number of the world's superpowers and powers at this time. Think for a moment about Hong Kong, Palestine, Central America, Venezuela, and of course our neighbor to the south of us, the United States. Even within this great nation of Canada, we get a sense of just how close we have come to become a society which is falling into civil unrest and fragmentation yet again. History seems to repeat itself over and over. Look at the number of political leaders who are purposely trying to stamp out all opposition to their hold on power. Look what happens when someone like the media tries to share the truth about world events. The media's reporting is quickly deemed to be fake news, and as such, it's labeled as untruths. Name-calling, which seems to be the way some leaders choose to devalue their opponent's personal worth so as to make their own position appear to be more acceptable. And finally, when society conforms to one line of thinking, then there can be no dissenting ideas, and therefore no opposition. Does it sound familiar? Is that not the state of where we are right now? We don't have to look too far to find these things happening all around us. Even in this great country of Canada, we see these things happening almost daily. Are we as members of the human race on a path to total collapse of our humanity? These four statements were just as relevant in Jesus' time as they are today. In the passage that I shared to you from Luke's Gospel, Jesus tells his followers that his purpose was not to bring peace, but to bring a new order, a new way of equality, a new way of sharing all the gifts of creation equitably among all peoples, and not just among a privileged few. This new fire which Jesus was about setting would be the cause of deep divisions in his day. Divisions that would be so profound that it would divide households and destroy family unity for many of the first generation of believers in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Division not based on political beliefs, not on the accumulation of wealth, but rather based on the attainment of eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. These early Christians experienced division when they professed their faith in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. They quickly discovered that their beliefs were not shared by those around them. Often their own families would not accept what they were doing. Even today, we see occasions when someone converts to Christianity from another religious affiliation and families become divided. Much of the same thing happens for those who choose to convert to other faith traditions as well. Many of us can recall occasions when the marriage of two persons from different racial or creedal backgrounds had become a source of great consternation among family members. Why, even within our own Christian faith, when someone chooses to move from one denomination to another, family unities can be challenged. In recent years, we've seen a positive movement towards the acceptance of persons who are members of the LGBTQ2 community by their own families. Gradually, we are seeing their acceptance as part of the normal fabric of society. But it wasn't that many years ago that someone coming out as being gay or transgender or bisexual would have been the cause of great strain within the family unit. Coming out may have led to division between parent and child, sister and brother, and even resulted in the separation of that individual from the community in which she or he had grown up and called home. One thing is clear in all these situations: any serious commitment to living out one's belief is going to put at risk all sense of harmony between that person and the society to which they relate. Jesus told his followers that he came to kindle a new fire within the hearts of humankind. He came to bring a new baptism, a baptism of fire, not the baptism of repentance that John the Baptist had preached. This new baptism was to be the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a baptism which was to empower people to be a new people, living their lives modeled on the ministry that Jesus taught. A ministry based on the great commandment to love God our Creator above all else, with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all the soul, and all our strength, and to love our neighbors as we would want to be loved ourselves. Come to think about it, this is what Jesus has been teaching about over the past three Sundays in our lectionary. 3 weeks ago, Jesus taught his followers to pray, to give thanks to God the Creator, for all the gifts bestowed upon them from God's vast creation, and to love our neighbors. 2 weeks ago, we learned how the accumulation of personal wealth is at best fleeting in this temporal life. None of us will be able to take any of it with us in death. The sharing and the equitable distribution of all the gifts of creation is the one true expression of our love and caring as the children of God. Last week, we heard how it is God's great pleasure to share the kingdom with all believers. And finally, today, we hear how we are to keep our eye on the one true prize, the gift of eternal life, which only the Creator can grant. We are not to be swayed by the false gods of greed, wealth, and the me-first ideals, which society would have us accept as the way to happiness in this life. Last week, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And he said to his disciples, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be ready by being always aware of the present time." And finally, this week, "You know how to interpret the earth and the sky, but why do you not know how to interpret this present time?" So here we are back at those four statements that I posed to you at the beginning of this sermon, but I'd like to rephrase them as four questions. Number one, how do we get the people in power to see that the equitable sharing of the gifts of God's creation is paramount to the coming of the kingdom of heaven in our time and place? Will truth-telling become the good and proper basis for the coming of the kingdom in our time? And number three, there are many voices which need to be heard. Male, female, trans, straight, bisexual, and gay. These are all God's children. When will we give equal voice to their need to be heard and valued? And finally, will harmony be achieved through the assimilation into a society of sameness, or by giving every person the opportunity to flourish as God's child, regardless of their race, creed, sexual orientation, or gender? The good news is that it's God's good pleasure to share the kingdom with all creation. It's God's desire for all humanity to live this new relationship with the Creator. We need this to happen in our time and space, just as it may have happened for those early Christians in that first generation, some 2,000 years ago. Of course, that'll mean that we have to change the way we interpret our present time and how we live as the children of the kingdom in heaven. It seems to me that prayer and listening for the still small voice of God would be an awfully good place to start. Amen.